forth much fruit. Verse 32, And I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me. Chapter 13, verse 13. Ye call me Master and Lord. Ye say, Well, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, ye also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that you should do as I have done to you. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord, neither he that is sent greater than he that sent him. Chapter 14. Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And whither I go ye know, and the way ye know. Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Notice verse 20. At that day ye shall know that I am in my Father, and ye in me, and I in you. And a final in chapter 15, verse 1, I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away, and every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you. As a branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in me. The Lord will bless to us the reading of his precious word. Right through the scriptures, the continuity. Life begins at the cross. And therefore, it takes us to chapter 12 on to chapter 17, which is a continuity of that which transpired in the life of the Lord. If in chapter 12 we read, Except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone, but if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. It reminds us not only of the person of Christ, but of you and of me. I have died with Christ. Am I living that life? Is it Christ in me, the hope of glory? Can others see Christ in me? But when it comes to that portion in the fact, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, generically, it's speaking of any grain. But here he is making a very vivid picture of life and of death. Think again of the seven steps in a corn of wheat before fruit comes forth. And it is that which must transpire in your life and in mine. First of all, it must soften, for the corn of wheat is hard. In your life and mine, our hearts are hardened. And God must soften them, and he has his own way. In every life, there's a time when God speaks. In the life of Isaiah, you remember, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord high and lifted up, sitting upon a throne. But it was in the year that his uncle had died, and that spoke to him. Many of us, God has used death to soften the heart, to bring us to himself. When it is over, there's joy, but at the time, it hurts. If we follow farther, we're mindful that the corn of wheat that softens, it must enlarge. And when God first saves us, you and I want our family to be one in Christ, and rightfully so. But it isn't long until you realize there are neighbors. There are others. And finally, some actually leave home, going out into this world to win souls for Christ. So the corn of wheat, it enlarges. softens, enlarges, and then a change transpires. When a person is truly born of God, one can see the change in that life, and if there is no change, there's likely no life. Life is manifest. When a baby is born, it cries. When you and I think of this portion, that a chemical change, it is from starch to sugar. It is from stiffness to sweetness. And the Bible says, let your sweet reasonableness be known unto all men. It is not being headstrong. It is desiring to live for the Lord. And so that corn of wheat, it was hard, but it softens. And it at last enlarges, and the chemical change transpires. When that happens, it bursts open. And there is that which must transpire in us. The joy cannot be contained. Others soon will know that we belong to Christ. Many a person, before God saved them, were actually quiet, silent, shy. But God turns that around, and for His glory, they witness. I've witnessed a number of these men who were alcoholics, drug addicts, and dysfunctional families, and I've seen them in the outcome. After God saves them, they go back to those places that they once haunted, and they preach Christ, and they win many a soul to Him. They can reach people that I could never touch. It was a joy to be invited to the prison in West Palm Beach, to go into the cell or be placed in the glass cage with a man that was dangerous. And yet the Word of God soon softened the heart. And when it softened the heart, it wasn't long until there was a change. And when that change transpired, it wasn't long till they started telling others. And right through the prison, so-and-so got saved. And that is an example for me. So the corn of wheat softens, it enlarges, the chemical change takes place, and it bursts open. And when it bursts open, a root goes down, and you and I find something out very quickly when we belong to the Lord. Without me, you can do nothing. It is a picture of the prayer life in your life and in mine. God desires that we may inquire of Him. Ye have not, because ye ask not. Therefore, prayer is important. I've mentioned that in my home, as a little child, I can remember my father on his knees at least 1 hour every day. It may be in the evening when he came from work. It may be early in the morning. Or at times when I would come in from a night of pleasure, he would still be on his knees. And God answered his prayer. He saw one son saved. He saw the next son saved. He saw his father saved. He saw the Supreme Court judge of Pennsylvania saved. He saw his customers saved. He bore fruit. He bore much fruit. Why? Because he allowed God to soften, to enlarge, to change from the stiffness to the sweetness, and it burst open, and then the root went down, and there was prayer, and God answers prayer. When the root went down, it isn't long until the life can be seen, and the green shoot comes forth. And that is where you and I come forth, that others can tell we belong to Jesus. When the green shoot comes forth, then comes the fruit. We were talking today about going out on the branch, on the limb. Going out on the limb. Why? That's where the fruit is. And if you're going to win souls to Christ, oftentimes you have to go out on a limb. Oftentimes in positions that you wouldn't choose for yourself. And then when God saves, the fruit comes forth, and there's no joy like it. When in business, the customers starting getting saved. When one got saved and another got saved and I got a taste for souls, the business had no pleasure whatsoever in my life. The financial aid that I would have had when my father retired didn't reach my heart whatsoever. I wanted souls for Christ. Oh, I could sing, "Take the world, but give me Jesus," but now I had to put it into practice if I really meant it. And I turned my back on all and went forth for Christ. 5 souls would be saved, 7 souls, 3 souls. It kept going on, and it got better and better and better. There were times of testing, but God faileth not. And He wants in our lives to remember He is seeking fruit. So the first thing that we find is the corn of wheat. Then He speaks and said, "And I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw men unto me." That corn of wheat is Christ. And yet, you and I must die with Christ. We oftentimes want our own way, when it's far better if we allow the Lord to have His way. "Have thine own way, Lord. Have thine own way. Thou art the potter, and I'm but the clay." In the second, "And I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw men unto me." Chapter 12 constantly takes us to the cross. We mentioned that's where life begins. And actually, that's where life ends. I've been by the bedside of many a believer in Christ as they were ushered into His presence. And do you know that of which they speak? The cross, the Christ, the time they got saved, the assurance they have through the Word. Then the eyes close and they're gone. Sometimes there's little reward. Again, I think of Mother's brother, Hugh McEwen, the evangelist. For 3 years, he hadn't spoken. For 3 years, my father closed the store every Wednesday and took ice cream, carried him down, put him in a wheelchair, rolled him up and down the street. 3 years in a row, he had never spoken. He could move his hand. He could keep time to music. He could smile, but he couldn't speak. Then, early one morning, he opened his eyes and he looked up. Mother had spent day after day and week after week and month after month with him. He looked up and he said, "Martha, I love you." And he closed his eyes, went home to glory. You know, there's a reward for everything we do as unto Him. And that's the greatest reward one can have, to hear His voice. "And I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw men unto me." But do you remember where it started back in John chapter 3 and verse 14? "As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up." Just as the serpent must be lifted up, the Son of Man must be lifted up. And the Son of Man comes from Daniel chapter 7. And way back in Daniel chapter 7, speaking of the Son of Man, the Son of Man became the Ancient of Days, remember? And it speaks about that which happened when the serpent was lifted up. First of all, you see what He has done and then who He is. Then you truly trust Him. But I was noticing the prince of this world would be cast out. And it tells you farther He would be cast out of heaven. Then it tells you He would be cast into the bottomless pit. Then it tells you He'll be cast into the lake of fire. And Calvary won the victory over Satan. You and I can submit to Him. You and I can yield our lives to Him. We have just sung much about that. And if there's one thing that I want in life, it's for to me to live is Christ. When you get up in a few years, you realize the world has very little. You start to think, why did you spend so much time in doing this and in doing that? Because the things of earth grow strangely dim in the light of His glory and grace. So in that story, "When ye have lifted up the Son of Man, then shall ye know that I am He," in John chapter 8 and 28. "Then shall ye know that I am He." You see, the Bible teaches in 1 John chapter 5 and 13, "These things are written that ye may know that ye have eternal life." And so in chapter 12, God takes you and takes me back to the cross of Calvary, and I behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world, and I find salvation. It isn't long in my life that I not only have salvation, I realize God's desire is I be sanctified. I be set apart for Him. And in chapter 13, Peter is there. And when Peter is there, he does not desire to be washed. Now remember, when it speaks here, it's about the feet. If you've never had the bath, if you've never come to Calvary, if your sins have never been washed away, this is not for you. This is for the believer in Christ. George Shivas was up in Canada, and he was speaking at a conference. On his way, he stopped at a gas station, if I remember correctly, and he got in a conversation with a man, and the man said, I'm a shepherd. Oh, he said, you are. He said, so am I. He says, you are? Yes. He said, what do you care for? Oh, I care for sheep. He says, what do you find the most difficult thing? Oh, he says, they have hoof and mouth disease. And he's explaining to this man all about the sheep for which he cares. He says, what do you mean? Well, he says, I'm a preacher of the gospel, and straying feet and lying lips are taking souls down to hell. And he preached to the man about the Savior, and he told about the shepherd who came to die for the sheep. Now, we think afresh, and what we really want to learn is, what lesson can I have? If Peter then was told that he needed to be washed, and the Lord tells him, if I wash thee not, thou hast no part in me. Is that what it says? No part with me. Once you are in Christ, you are in Christ forever. Once you have salvation, you are secure, because only the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, can cleanse small sin. The blood has cleansed me from sins. Now, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his ways? By taking heed thereto according to the word of God. And we are cleansed, we are washed by the word of God. Our feet are washed. Our straying feet are now clean. We're brought back into fellowship with God, and we can be used mightily for His glory. Peter, if you remember, when he speaks, the Lord goes, and first of all, there was a Passover feast. That tells of the death of Christ. The Lamb died at the Passover. Then He arose, and that tells of the resurrection. Then He girded Himself with a towel, and that tells Him of the service, which He is now doing for you and for me through His Word. He's washing us. He's cleansing us. Washing of water by the Word in Ephesians 5. I was traveling, and in one place, I was told about a man who had gotten a young girl in trouble. The man had a prominent position where he was. No one dared tackle this man. But once this girl brought it to my attention, and she was brokenhearted because of sin, there was nothing left but to go and seek to wash his feet. He was a believer in Christ. He had fallen into sin. He had gotten this young girl into trouble. And she had repented. She was sorry. She was grieved. But he had threatened her life if she ever told. It took a lot of courage, but she came. I took another person with me and went to his house. And he went very far in this treachery that he had done. And I said, God has two charges against you. He's a big fellow, and he says, you're making me uncomfortable. I said, well, it's only the word of God. We read. We prayed. He was angry, but I left. It wasn't long until he got back and read. Time went on, and I received a letter. He was thanking me for washing his feet. He says, I'm now restored back to God. I'm now living for God, a happy Christian life. And I thank you for the courage of coming and for washing my feet with the word of God. It will be worth it all when we see Jesus. It's not the popular path. But first of all, he gives salvation, the corn of wheat the lifting up. And after this, he gives sanctification. He sets you and he sets me apart. We are different from the world. He desires that he would use you. And again, I think of going to Williamsburg, going down to the potter's house, asking the man if he would give me each process of the clay. He took a lump of clay and set it down. There was no beauty in it at all. He took another lump of clay and put it on the wheels, and he allowed water to go over it to soften it, and that's what the Word of God does. And then he took his thumb and he started the form, and he was making a candlestick. And after he formed it, he placed it aside. You could see the image now. He took another lump of clay and he put it down and he formed the candlestick and he put a handle. And he got a paintbrush and took the sharp end and he formed a flower, dipped it in paint and painted it. And I thanked him for the object. He said, "Wait a minute. It's not through." I said, "What do you mean?" He said, "It has to go through the fire." He formed another and he placed it in the kiln. It was in the kiln for some time, and then finally he brought it out and it was shining, but it was small. The fires, he must increase, I must decrease. And there in all its beauty was the finished product. When God works in our lives and the fires burn and the trials seem heavy, when thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee. Through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. Through the fires, they'll never consume. Why? The fire is to purify, not to consume the believer in Christ. He's trying to mold us for his glory. And the first thing he must do is find the sinner and bring him salvation. The next thing he teaches is sanctification, or being set apart for God. I think again of going to Antioch, and I saw what appeared to be a high hill or a short, small mountain. And there was a cave and the entrance, and that's where the believers in Christ met. But the Roman soldiers, they watched. And when the believers got inside of the cave, and the room's about half as big as this room, the soldiers ran in with their guns and they killed every believer in Christ. Then finally, some others at last made their way back and they dug a tunnel out through the back. They made a way of escape, and the Christians then met year after year. They were set apart for God. But you know, the time is short. Mount Vesuvius, when it erupted, it took lives in a moment. And hundreds of years later, they go in and they find men and women, mothers and children, in each other's arms, buried in the ashes. They were taken suddenly. We have no promise of tomorrow, but we can live for Christ today. We're told, "Boast not thyself of tomorrow, thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. Now is the accepted time, now is the day of salvation." And so he who saved, he it is who sanctifies. And then when this transpires, it goes to a subject that is so much needed today, and that is the ministry of comfort, or as this portion of the Word of God would give it, it is security. And I want to read that verse again, because there are so many people today and they believe you can be saved and be lost. Tell me how you can untie this knot in John 14. He says in verse 20, "At that day ye shall know that I am in my Father," that's Christ is in the Father, "and ye in me," Christ is in the Father and you're in Christ, "and I in you." And if you can break that knot, it is impossible. That's the security of the believer in Christ. That is a picture where the ark, back in Noah's day, the Lord shut the door. The Lord secured them. And the Lord is able to keep that which is committed unto him, and the believer in Christ will not be lost. He can grieve the spirit. He can quench the Spirit, but the Spirit of God, according to John 14, abideth with you forever. That is permanency, and that is the truth of the Word of God. He came to chapter 15, and you perhaps think that 12 was the cross, 13 is the cleansing, 14 is the comfort, and 15, that is the idea of communion with God. Staying in fellowship with Him, talking with Him, walking with Him, morning by morning, Lord, what wilt Thou have me to do today? And He never fails. Interesting things come early, in the afternoon, late, constantly. And fruit is the object, and fruit is the outcome. Bearing fruit for the Lord. We had that fruit tree in the backyard, and it was loaded with fruit. And the next year, there wasn't one. There was a gardener that lived not too far away, and we asked if he'd stop by and tell us what was wrong. He came in, and he looked at the tree, and he smiled. He said, "Do you see that branch with all the thorns on it? That doesn't belong on that tree. It's a sucker branch. It's taking the very life out of it." He went and sawed it off, and the fruit returned. The tree again was producing. Is there anything in my life that is hindering fruit? Is there anything in yours? My father saw that I wasn't too cheerful for a while, and he came up one day and he said, "How are things?" I said, "Fine." "Is there anything at all that is puzzling you or that's wrong?" I said, "Well, if you were a fisherman and didn't catch fish for a long time, wouldn't you start to question? I'm not bearing fruit." He said, "You're not." "Well, let me read you something." And he went back and started reading me. "The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, even ending up with self-control." He said, "Are you bearing any of this fruit? The fruit of the Spirit? That is just as important to God. That is what He wants in your life." And we are told 13 times over, I remember a preacher saying one time, "Love one another, love one another, love one another." One preacher had a child that constantly interrupted. He had a guest one day, and the child was being bad and interrupted. He said, "Please keep quiet." A couple of minutes later, the child was back and interrupted. He says, "Please be quiet." A few more times, "Please be quiet." He says, "You know why I told my son to be quiet 10 times today? Because 9 wasn't enough. Do you know why the Lord said love one another? At least 13 times. Because 12 wasn't enough. If I love you, I forgive you for everything. You forgive me for everything." God is trying to bring us closer to Himself. But remember, it all starts at the cross. And the purpose of the cross is that you might be set apart for His glory, sanctified. And when sanctified, He desires that you and I would find the time of sorrow would be brought forth in comfort. But He wants to tell you, you can find plenty of comfort in the fact of that security. "I am in the Father. Ye in me, and I in you." You cannot be lost once you are saved, according to the Word of God. He brought in the fact that I'm saved and I'm sanctified and I'm secure. But then he goes to the next chapter, and when he comes to the next one, it's actually in 15, it's abiding in the vine. A branch. A branch can't bring forth the fruit of itself. It must abide in the vine. How do you abide in the vine? You simply allow nothing to come between you and the vine. You are but a branch. And so God is speaking, and When the Lord said at the end of John 14, let us rise and go hence. And now they're going on. And there's going to be a very intimate lesson that is given to the people of God. And the intimate lesson is, he wants you to bear fruit. He wants you to bear more fruit. And he wants you to bear much fruit. How much fruit are you bearing in your life? Not simply souls for Christ. That's the greatest privilege that I know in the world. But love and joy. Do you know the joy of the Lord is your strength? I told you about Canada. They were having meetings and one of the brethren went outside giving out tracts and inviting the people to come in. And it looked like the man had never smiled in his day. And he was given tracts. Come on in, son. He says, no thanks. I've got enough troubles of my own. And the fellow would not go in simply because of the appearance of the man. The joy of the Lord is your strength. Join this happy band we sing. So God leaves us with the very fact that we can bear fruit if we are in subjection to the Word of God, if we abide in Him, or if we surrender all. I surrender all. Will you? Shall we pray? Our Father, we thank Thee for the few stammering words concerning Thy truth. And we thank Thee for the word which came, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by Me. We thank Thee that we've been taken by faith to the cross, where Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. He was buried and rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. And we've been going over the very fact that we need washing of the Word constantly, day by day and moment by moment, to be of service to Thee. That we need Thy comfort. And we thank Thee for the security which Thou hast given to every believer. Then, Lord, we'd ask Thee that we may know what it is to commune with Thee. That we may abide in the vine, for severed from Thee we can do nothing. We bless Thee, we praise Thee, we worship Thee, we adore Thee, we love Thee, Lord. And just commit this meeting into Thy hands. Those who are not here, bless them. Those who sorrow, comfort them. We just give thanks in the Savior's most worthy and precious name, Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.